A little peek behind the curtain here at Qualified Nonsense. We usually have two or three episodes in the can. That's some AV lingo for you, meaning that we have it recorded already, ready to go. And we have a couple of them in the can in case we have an unexpected conflict for our recording date, or if we, as in me, can't get my act together to perform an audio balance of our tracks. Now, with that said, this episode will come out in a few weeks, but I wanted us not to miss the opportunity to call it the fact that we've been doing this for 3 years. We started in August 17th, 2022, and we had, you know, a little bit of a yearish gap in the middle. But yeah, so we're 3 years old. Just a couple of weeks ago, when you hear this, it'll be about a month ago. Anyway, but y'all know my kink is numbers, so here's to the rest of you sickos out there. In the last 3 years, here's what we've been up to. 111 charming and insightful episodes, around 92-ish hours of pure audible magic and entertainment, 5,843 downloads, 94,245 views on YouTube Shorts, 1,900 subs, 3 good-looking patrons, 1 MBA, 1.5 New Orleans trips, 2 live shows, and 3 hosts that are hung like squirrels. My name is Jake.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Matt.
And this is Qualified Nonsense.
When you do stuff like that, all I can hear in my head is the 525,600 minutes.
Hey, thanks, man.
Or is it 100? 500? 100?
5,000. Wait, two.
Yeah. 1,025,000.
Well, judging by like where I was at, placed in musicals, which was like towards the back, I could probably kind of like just fun 500 man, like I could get away with singing it like that. I wasn't on mic.
My oldest was, I guess it was a couple years ago now, he was in like a little show choir or it was like an art, like a theater art camp or something, and he sang the Newsies song. But basically in the middle of the song, they say right damn now, and the kids are like right damn now, and it was so funny just seeing a bunch of like 6 and 7 year olds being like damn. That's great.
I mean, I only did theater in high school, but I still have nightmares about like it's like opening night and I didn't bother to learn my lines.
Yep.
That's not true. Weren't you like in Aladdin and stuff at the community theater?
Yeah, I guess before high school, but like after high school I didn't do any theater or anything.
Yeah, they weren't ready for us.
But I still have these stress related dreams or
actually them too.
More what it is lately is like Mr. Harris will like call me up and say, hey, Brandon, we need you to fill in for this role or whatever. Learn this part. And then I don't bother learning it. Then I'm like I guess like after the fact, I'm like, why am I acting against a bunch of high schoolers? Would they see this like fat 40-year-old and be like, well, he seems out of place? I don't know.
You're our last resort.
I never had any of those. Like, and I almost killed a guy in the orchestra pit with that lamppost.
I forgot about that. I was there that performance.
Like during a performance?
Yeah, it was my job for Guys and Dolls, and the base of, and you know, Harris had this like a fascination with getting like the most accurate things he possibly could. So it was like a 200-pound light post that we fixated on a rolling thing, like that, was clearly too narrow.
Yeah, too.
It was super narrow, yeah. And I plug it in because I'm just worried that I don't get it plugged in, and then the light doesn't work. So I'm just like, go, 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 go. And then I run away and I hear.
I do have to give Harris a lot of credit, because I have seen high school plays since being out of high school, even fairly recently. And like the level of craftsmanship and I guess like professionalism and things that he put into the shows, I think elevated it beyond or you know, above a typical high school.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Well, it showed that he cared. He put so much of his own funds even into, right, that like the school would only provide so much for costumes and set design and all that. And he's like, no, it's really important that we have this.
But even, like the stagecraft, like the sets always look good, and the props and all that, like costumes. And it was
a big effort.
Yeah.
It's also a testament that he would he got a bunch of 16, 17 year olds that wanted to give up their Saturdays, like not just days. We would go there at 8 a.m. and we would stay until midnight.
Yeah.
And that's, we would sacrifice that to build sets. And yeah, sure, you get to hang out with your buds and stuff, but I don't know.
No.
Good job, Mr. Harris.
Yeah. Yeah. You're totally right. The level of engagement and inspiration. And it ultimately, I feel like, paid off. The shows were pretty darn good for high school, I think.
And I feel like the level of acting was a lot higher than you see from, I mean, of course, this all could be, this was at this point, 20
years ago,
something years ago. But so my mind, I could be idealizing it in my mind, but I feel like a lot of the people that we acted with, like Neil or Brandon or Sarah, like a lot of these people that we acted with were like really, really talented actors, even outside of a high school setting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we did have an interestingly unique pool of sort of raw talent that was pretty fun to watch. I think the years above us and during our years. And did you guys go back to any after leaving high school? I think I might've gone back to one or two, but I don't think I don't have any,
I don't think I did,
concrete memory of them.
I went back to a couple. Where are they?
Also, I'm leaving. I failed to mention your brother, Matt, Zach. He is also very talented.
I mean, Zach was, and he went on to have some good success in college as well. Yeah, I do think because it's like the people that went on and still performed is a testament to like the natural talent that they had. It wasn't just like, we need a guy who's bald. Well, this 16-year-old is already bald. Put him in that spot. It's like they were actually very good at what they did too. And it's like, this guy just kind of looks like an old man. Put him in there.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it was fun. But I still have those dreams also. And they're
is that just like terrible. Just a stress response?
I guess so.
Gotta be.
Yeah. And I don't know about for you, Brandon, but that happened to me in real life where I was unprepared for a role. And so that nightmare came true for me. But I think it has something to do, for me anyway, it has to do with like, if I'm procrastinating on something, that's when I have those dreams, because that's my tendency is to procrastinate, and then it
well, they're also subconscious for the things that you are self-conscious of,
right
like Brandon, public speaking is, I mean, I think you'd rather get nut tapped 10 times in a row than stand up and do a monologue in front of an audience. I think it's probably playing into that of like, for me, it's my stress dream that I always have is I'm late for a flight, right? Or I'm late for a thing. And it's like, that's the thing I hate the most. And it's like, I had one not too long ago where we flew in, we had a layover, and we needed to get to a certain gate. And as we were running, we were already behind, and the hallway just kind of kept like shining, right? Like going. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, they're going to close the door. No. It's like, we could never get to the gate.
I don't know. I mean, as far as public speaking goes, like, yeah, I don't like doing it. And I'm always like nervous before doing it. But then like once I am doing it, it usually like isn't the that build up. Bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more to... like the build up. Yeah.
Yeah. Once you're in it, and especially if you know your shit, it's like, it's kind of zen, I think.
Lately I've been having these weird dream, and I know like dreams or whatever, not that interesting to talk about, but it's our podcast. So, it's like always within the first hour of my sleep, I'll have these dreams where I'll like kind of be like semi awake, and either there's like a ghost or a witch or Satan or something like messing with the room, and he's like gonna get me or what, like he's like in the room with me, or like
that's,
I don't know,
paralysis. that's sleep paralysis. You're asleep, but you're not asleep, so you're awake but you can't move, and you have a sleep paralysis demon.
It feels like not quite that, because I think I can move, because I can wake up and be like, oh, that was just a dream, and then just go back to sleep.
So,
but it's always like the first hour, like it jolts me awake, like, oh god, the devil's trying to get me or whatever. Like,
Jesus Christ, Brandon, that's terrible. That sounds really scary.
He's coming back for that magic fiddle he gave me,
it's always like some like malevolent thing, like a ghost or a demon or a witch or like something like that.
Oh my gosh, your imagination.
They're just in the room tickling your feet, like, no.
You son of a bitch.
But it's
always like the first hour of my sleep.
I get accused of not sleeping enough, but maybe you get too much sleep. Like maybe you're too, like if you slide into sleep for like an hour, then maybe you're just getting too much sleep.
No, you should do a sleep study. I'm curious to see
what they record.
Elevated heart rate. He's like,
it's probably stuff that I'm sure like a CPAP would fix, but
or don't be like, well, you said it was Satan, right? Well, we show here at 11:59 you got an erection. So it can't be that scary.
Hail Satan.
I always feel a ghost or a witch or Satan's hands around my neck all at
like, yeah, yeah. Should follow us through this door.
I know.
mine are, I guess you could say, equally as scary. I've been getting really restless sleep for several years at this point. It's like, I just, you know, we talked about our sleep patterns, how you guys can just like stay still. Yeah. I'm like a roller hot dog. Like I just roll in place over and over again. But like, I'll get these terrible dreams where I'm like, I have to go to the bathroom really bad. And it's usually like at a sporting event. It was just like, oh, there's a line. Oh, there's a line. And then you get up and it's like, you just go. Like, oh, you just keep going. You don't empty.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'll wake up and I'll be like, oh, shit, it's like 5 a.m. It's time to wake up. And I'm like, oh, wait. No, I didn't pee the bed. Huh.
I know. I don't know what it is. Just in the last, I want to say, year, I've had like more peeing dreams. And I wake up and I'm like, you son of a bitch, you better not have. I swear to God.
I apologize to my kids a lot.
Similar dreams where it's like, oh, finally I found a bush, and then it's just like nonstop you're going, and
like a fire hose.
Yeah.
Those, they legitimately scare me, of like, oh my God, I just pissed the bed, didn't I?
This is yet another example of how our podcast is becoming a
My wife rolls over. He's like, oh, did you have another one of your pee dreams again?
No, shut up. Don't look at me.
Is that why she makes you sleep in the room you're in now?
Yeah.
You don't piss the bed?
Yeah, that one's
got the rubber sheets on.
Yeah.
Lay off the Pepsi, kid. Should we relieve ourselves and get back to some questions?
Yeah, let's do it.
Be right back.
Well, hi there. I'm Jake. I'm on the podcast. Listen, I know you've heard about us having Patreon, but I wanted to let you know that a couple of weeks ago when we did our live show, we threw it up on YouTube, and if you'd like to see it, come on over to patreon.com/qualifiednonsense, join us at our $5 tier, and you can check out that and some other bonus content that we've been putting out, and we're going to be putting out some more. So this is a formal invitation to you, the listener, to come check us out and help us keep the lights on and continue having some fun. Yep, that's it. Well, I hope you have a good rest of your day. Bye-bye.
And welcome back. Feel free to drop us a line at qualifiednonsense@gmail.com or connect with us on our socials. Now's the time of the show where we take on Reddit's most pressing queries by finding the top trending questions and answering them here. The first one comes to us from Ask Men Over 30.
We're over 30.
The username Glass Combination 72 asks, this is sort of a long one. Anyone, quote, restart, end quote, at 40? Career, fitness, financially? I found myself in a midlife crisis, I suppose. A, quote, woke up one day and realized WTF am I doing, end quote, moment. Was recently laid off from my job, marketing, 15-year career. Blinked and I'm fat and out of shape. Blinked and found myself struggling with alcohol. Blinked and found myself in debt with no retirement. As an outsider, it probably looks okay. Nice house, nice community, newish cars, etc. But underneath it, I'm barely afloat. Anyone pivoted or reset their life at 40? Any tips, words of advice?
You're definitely not alone.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people that face that, especially like on the career side. We're not like our parents that you get a job and the mentality was to stay there, get your pension and retire. We change jobs so much. Companies grow and companies fall. So don't let that get to you. But I do understand the blink of an eye thing and kind of like WTF.
Something I've heard happening lately is that people are hanging on to their jobs more rather than moving around. And I mean, I suppose that could have to do more with like the economy, like the job market is kind of shaky right now. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I definitely feel this. Like last year, like I pursued my MBA and I've taken, you know, like the Google data analytics training course, and I haven't done anything with those things, but I feel very comfortable where I'm at right now. But the way things are, like I'm kind of with the economy and everything, I'm kind of nervous to move away from like this relative safety and security that I have, but I do feel kind of restless. So
yeah.
Miss 100% of the shots you don't take, Brandon.
That's true. That's true. I've been saying that a lot lately. No, I think it's a fair question. I think we've talked about that a couple of times on the show, but I was telling Matt before you jumped on, Brandon, before the show started, that I think I found a small hernia on my body, and I'm like, oh, fucking, what the fuck? And I'm regularly having those same sort of mini epiphanies. I got laid off a handful of years ago now, and so I've been sort of restarting that part of life, but with the sentiment of you miss all the shots you don't take, I do think that it's important to periodically take a hard look at how you're spending your time and how you're spending your life and making sure that it's something that you want to do and you're doing it with the people that you want to do it with and that you are open with yourself and with your people and talk it out. Get it figured out.
Yeah. Leave your family.
Nope.
No. That's not what I'm saying. I used to hate the phrase because I thought it was so cliche. It was like, get uncomfortable being uncomfortable. And the more you get put into those positions of, hey, I got laid off. Hey, I looked at my retirement accounts and turns out there's nothing there. Hey, I'm going through a relationship change. Hey, you know, I didn't think I'd be at this point in my life.
Yeah.
Just think about what it was like when you were 20 years younger than that. I did appreciate kind of like the grind, if you will, or like to get to the next level and putting in the work to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good to not get so comfortable with where you're always at and change it. And it's going to be work, especially fitness, right? If you're trying to change something about you, you're drinking too much and you're not going to the gym, it's really easy to just crack a beer and not eat a meal prep that you made or go to the gym. So time to start retraining your brain. Get uncomfortable.
I'll say also that...
be comfortable getting uncomfortable. Whatever.
I'll say also that I am not a good example of this, but I understand it, that sleep and having consistent and healthy sleep trickles down to a lot of other sort of wellness results, and specifically about eating. Like it helps you not be so not spontaneous, but like reactive. Like if you want something sugary or something fatty, and instead of just going and get it, you have the mental capacity to, from sleep, you have the mental capacity to be like, I probably shouldn't do this right now. Or I should, you know, balance it with like a run or a weight training or something like that. But yeah, get some sleep.
It is kind of apropos that you're the one talking about getting good sleep.
Yeah. Sleep. Ah.
Yeah, I don't know that like trying to find happiness with a career is the way to go.
I'm a proponent of you should enjoy what you do. I mean, you spend an eighth of your life doing it in theory. You should enjoy it to some degree or other. And if it's absolutely killing you, then yeah, get out of there.
Yeah.
It's going to kill you faster if you're miserable.
Yeah. Yeah. I suppose that's true. Yeah. If it's miserable, then yeah, it's not good. I mean, if it's something you can tolerate and it pays the bills or what, you know, whatever, but like, I think trying to find things outside, like things in your personal life that bring you joy, especially like if you've been, you know, hitting the bottle too hard or whatever, like finding other like hobbies or a friend group or a peer group who share your interests or share your same struggles, I think is important to do.
Also, just go for it. If there's something that you wanted to do, like I've always been curious about model trains, then I could go to the hobby store and get a model train. Start at it. What's the worst that can happen? You die tomorrow, and then you're like, well, at least I know what it was like to have that model train.
Well, it is, yeah, especially, yeah. I mean, if you are looking for a career change or whatever, like with the internet, it's really easy to, you know, get a different degree or learn a new skill or, yeah, I mean, even figure out if, you know, where your strengths are and where you should be focusing your energy. But
be life coaches.
Yeah. I mean,
get your shit together.
I get, yeah, like kind of feeling like a career restart, but like, I don't feel like, and I guess, yeah, like health wise, yeah, especially if you're, you know, 40 or older, you probably do need to be more, get your health in check and be, you know, you can't drink like you're in your 20s. You can't eat like you're in your 20s. You know, like I feel like in my 20s, I could eat whatever I wanted and lose weight or, you know, not gain weight at least. And, yeah, that's just not the case anymore. So yeah,
I heard it coined by Theo Von at some point on a reel or whatever, but he very sort of in a somewhat intoxicated way said, nothing changes if nothing changes. And I do think that that's very simple and wildly wise, because you have to make the effort to have things change, and you need to change behaviors if you want to see change. And so don't
Theo Von's a big sober guy now too,
right? I just mean like He probably was sober. Yeah, he was sober when he said it. But what I mean is that he's got that sort of flighty delivery.
Oh, gotcha.
But
yeah, I mean, it's yeah. If you want to get in better shape, I mean, going, you know, walking around the block is better than doing nothing, and or drinking one less beer a week is better than doing nothing. And you know, like what Jake was saying, you know, like the kind of journey of a thousand steps begins with, or journey of a thousand, what is it? Journey of a thousand miles begins with a single step, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, even you know, incremental changes add up. You don't have to tackle everything all at once. You know, you can, if you're, you know, you have no retirement, focus on saving $100 a month, or if that's too much, $50, or, you know, that's too much, $25, whatever, you know, anything like that. And slowly build from there.
And little changes will help avoid burnout of whatever that change is, because a lot of people go whole hog into something, being like, I'm going to change, like, this is going to be a big pivot point in my life. And they basically exhaust themselves with whatever the new change is.
I have one of those a month where I was like, I'm going to meal prep this week. I'm going to start doing it. And then I do it. Same. And it's like, no more lunches out. And I get like 3 days in. I was like, Jersey Mike is on the way home.
But yeah, like with that, like meal prep one day a week, you know, and go from there.
Okay, preachy. I'll do what I want.
You're not the boss of me.
Or you
start your little changes. Baby steps.
Or walk to Subway every day. They could use a new mascot. the top answer here. This person says, reset at 35, rehab for drink, came out literally a changed man. Went from nearly destitute to semi-retired with an engineering consultancy and a PhD in 12 years. I also lost 11 kilograms. What is that in?
What the fuck?
Like 20 come pounds. On. Anyway, and can't hike enough. Met a lady 8 years ago and have two stepdaughters. I'm thankful for every day. It can be done.
My man.
How many kilograms?
11.
11.
20, 24 and a half, 24 and a quarter pounds. Carry on.
About that age, yes, midlife, it's normal. For a lot of people, it's connected to the age you are versus the time it took to achieve a level of stability where you could even consider who you are and what you actually want to do. Yeah, I guess that's true. Like, you know, once you're at a certain point in life, then yeah, you might be at a point where you can't kind of step back and reassess. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of people's stories here. I was divorced by a terrible woman at 39. Best thing to ever happen to me. I moved abroad, dated tons of new women, then returned to the U.S. and moved to a new city, carried half my career with me, built up the other half in a new field, found a new European living girlfriend, traveled to multiple foreign countries with her, found a new group of friends, gained 25 pounds of muscle, became fluent in a foreign language, played full 11v11 soccer again, learned to long distance swim, etc. That was the first 5 years. The list keeps going. You can change your life if you want it. So that's, you hear that story. Find yourself a European girlfriend.
Or many.
Yeah.
I believe there's a song about this, right? If you're going to be happy for the rest of your life, got to make. Well,
yeah.
We can't tell you how to fix your life, but we can give you some pointers on where to start.
Yeah.
Anyway,
our lives, let's crack are another one. Perfect. Can't pivot away from perfect. You feel me?
All right. Next question comes to us from Ask Reddit username Business Leads Connect. That sounds like a spam bot.
Yeah. block.
They ask, what is extremely unhygienic, but everyone seems to do it anyway?
What?
What is extremely unhygienic, but everyone seems to do it anyway?
My first thought was sucking on toes. That's not. Everybody's not doing that.
I was kind of on that same vein.
sucking heating, on a chili dog outside the Tasty Freeze.
Yeah. Yep. Sucking on chili dogs if you catch the drift. Making too many salads.
No.
No. All these damn millennials eating ass.
Go on cruises? I don't know.
Yeah.
Cruises are disgusting. They're just gross.
I see a lot of people, and I don't know what the, like, hygienic, like, what, like, how unhygienic or not it is, but I see a lot of people not wash their hands after using the bathroom, like in a public restroom.
Yeah.
Like, they either have peed or pooped. Usually peed, but yeah, they don't wash their hands.
I do that at the casino and make eye contact so they know not to sit next to me at the table. Or when I come to the table, then they get up and leave. So I got elbow room.
Nice.
Well, especially in if you're taking a dump in a casino and you're not washing your hands, like...
That's going called everywhere.
Called super spreader.
Yeah.
I mean, really any sort of... I mean, COVID really opened our eyes to this, right? Like any kind of event where there's more than like five people, right? There's like bound to be more germs shared than anyone expects there to be.
It did one of two things. It either opened your eyes or hardened them.
Sure.
Like, yeah. It's just it's a cold.
That's what like staying in a hotel now, I always do think like, yeah, sure, they change the sheets and the bedding or whatever, hopefully. But they're not changing the bed. Like, you're still sleeping in a bed that thousands of strangers have slept in, which...
And you know what? Oftentimes they're more comfortable than the bed you have at your own home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think of that sometimes, but like during summer, I'll be like, man, that's gross. Anyway, I'm going to turn this room down to 59 degrees. Because it's going to be awesome. I'm gonna go cozy up in the bed because it's 115 degrees outside.
Well, so or yeah, like another thing, like if you're eating at a restaurant, like eating off a fork, it's like thousands of strangers have eaten off this fork before me, and I'm going to trust that they did the right thing. And
yeah. I know. And for as often as restaurant equipment like goes down, you know, because they've got all the stuff to like sterilize, but if you're having a busy night, like just run them under the water, send it back out.
Yeah.
Oh,
do one cycle. We really need those glasses.
Depending on where you are, the especially like Asian cuisine, when you have like pretty garnish on your plate. I worked at a place where they reused them as often as they could, and one of the busboys was like, oh yeah, we reused that, aren't they pretty? And the table's like, what? It was great. it was like a five alarm fire. We were like, no, don't talk to the customers. Well, actually, no, I'm sorry, the management was. I was like, I don't give a shit. Yeah, definitely tell them that's disgusting.
It's a like bathrooms at arenas.
Yeah.
There for a concert or, oh, the grossest bathroom recently in a very long time was at the Moda Center. And it wasn't for a sporting event. It wasn't for a concert. It was for Disney on Ice. Because you take 4,000 kids and you try to get them who are all to some level of degree of potty training, they piss everywhere. It was like walking through just this most disgusting. Ugh. You're like, well, who's up next? We're done here. Sorry about the mess.
Jesus.
Yeah, I don't they say, you know, like if you have your toothbrush out on your bathroom counter, then it's like
particles,
fecal bacteria from flushing the toilet and all that. Yeah. Like,
mine's yeah, Sonic, I mean, so I just like turn it on before I go. It vibrates them all off.
Nice. Yeah, I leave my toothbrush out on the counter.
I turn mine on over my kids.
Jesus. What about, okay, so hot take. What about home cooking? like, sure, you're sharing germs with the people in your house anyway, but like, how often are you like licking your fingers, or like, if you're not in like restaurant mode, right? How often are you like eating off the cutting board,
or even washing pans, like not at the right temperature or whatever to kill everything. Yeah.
Do you guys use sponges? Well,
look at it this way though. Like if you're using a pan or a pot and you're worried about it, you're like, oh, I cooked chicken in that, for example, and it's, you know, I washed it with soap and water, but it wasn't the right temperature. You're literally just going to take that pan again, put it on the stove, and put fire or direct heat underneath of it. It's all going to be fine.
True.
Yeah.
I'm always entertained by, like you see, like, Michelin star chefs be like, you know, making something, then they try it from the spoon that they're making it with. I mean, most of the good ones, like, grab a new spoon.
They toss it, yeah. Spoon.
But someone who's, like, mixing it and, like, tries it off the wood spoon that they then go back in, you're like, I know that's cooking off, but also, like,
There are some TikTok accounts that I follow that are, like, Asian restaurants, and they're, the woks that they use are really fascinating because they have, like, all the fire and stuff. But I was like, so man, cool. You were putting that spoon in a whole lot of stuff right now.
Oh, yeah.
But then you also have to consider that, I mean, the flames that they're using, that thing's like 1,000 degrees.
Yeah, it's so, like, hot. Eh, it takes it so fast.
Or like throwing probably raw dead. Meat with their bare hands and then like stirring, like grabbing the spoon to stir it. And like,
yeah. I could watch professionals work on woks all day long. I just, fried rice, like just anybody doing like their standard fried rice, I could watch all day long. I love it.
It is pretty entertaining.
Yeah. But. Here's the top answer. Use their phone on the toilet and when eating without regularly cleaning it.
Yeah.
There. One, buy a pack of tortillas from the grocery store. Two, take the tortillas home and open the package. Three, pull out a tortilla and temporarily put it on top of the package, thinking you're keeping it off your countertop. You may as well have slapped your tortilla directly onto the grocery store shelf before taking it home.
100% know this feeling.
I've definitely accidentally done that. The setting like bread or tortilla on the plastic, and just having that moment of being like, that was definitely on the counter, or that was definitely on the shelf in the grocery store.
I hate touching sticky condiment bottles at restaurant tables, like ketchup, when I'm eating finger foods like fries or a burger.
Yeah, that is disgusting.
I worked at a restaurant in New York that they like looking fancy, so they put the ketchup in little glass ramekins, but people would dip their fries like directly into the ramekins, but we would always take the ramekins off the table and then put them back on tables when people would order. Like, it was just like, it was basically like putting a bottle of ketchup at the table, but instead of the bottle where you could squeeze it from and the rest of the content stays, you know, relatively ungermified, people would just dip right in. We'd be like, no, that's shared. But just kept on using it because that's the sort of filthy place New York is.
Eating food, putting your hand in a bowling ball, then eating more food.
Yeah.
People making your lunch in gloves to keep the germs off the food, then take your dirty cash with the clean gloves.
Yeah, gloves, man. I'm not down with gloves in the kitchen and stuff like that. It actually promotes cross-contamination.
Yeah.
Yeah, licking your fingers when counting money or turning pages. A lot of people don't wash their hands when they arrive somewhere after using public transportation.
Mm-hmm.
I always wash my hands before unloading the dishwasher and putting clean dishes away. And according to a previous post on Reddit, that's apparently super weird. If I'm going to eat off them later, I want to make sure my hands are clean before I put them away. I wash my hands before eating too.
I guess that's not weird. I mean, yeah, psycho.
Not washing their bedding enough.
Yeah, that's one I feel like should be more practiced.
I see carpets, peeps walk out
just,
of the...
just carpets.
Yeah. I see peeps walk out of the restroom without washing their hands all the time. Buffets. Not everyone washes their hands before picking up the tongs for food.
I mean, buffets shitting. Full stop, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the fact that you walk through the door, you know what you're getting into.
Yeah, you know what you're doing. You know what you've done.
Shitting while on your phone. I am currently shitting while on my phone. ice machine. Yeah, those things get grody if they're not
clean. They get pretty, regularly. Yeah, they get pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
What about shoes in houses? You guys take your shoes off in the house?
I don't.
We do for the most part.
Yeah.
We don't do shoes on carpet, but we have.
Yeah, we try. I mean, sometimes we have to run through the house with shoes on, but for the most part, we take it off.
I pretty much wear shoes until I go to bed.
Don't your feet sweat? My feet get so hot in shoes. Even like airy shoes.
I'm sure. I don't know. I'm a heathen, I guess.
Yeah. Wouldn't know. Never takes his shoes off.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I guess that is one thing. Like you are, you know, walking around on the street. People are, you know, there's dog shit and whatever everywhere. Yeah. And even walking around inside my house. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Unwashed produce from the grocery store. I get grossed out touching public door handles after knowing how many people don't wash their hands. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of like hand washing stuff.
Pretty standard stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't find any that like, ooh, yeah, that's... oh, blowing out birthday candles. That's a big one. Like,
oh, yeah. That was... That came up for us, Matt. I'm sure you also was like... I'd never really considered it before. Like, always, like, when if you see a kid, when they, like, blow and there's spittle, you're like, oh, I saw spit that time. But, like, everybody does it, right? It's just more...
Actually, that's something I haven't considered until just now.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, I remember only because, like, the kids had birthdays that we had people over for during COVID. And, you know, I remember the first time it happened because it was, like, mid-COVID. And we just had family over, like, cousins or whatever. And they blew on the cake. And everyone was kind of like... Like, we all had the same moment of being like, are we going to eat the cake now? Or no? What's the deal?
They're kids. They'll be fine.
Did you guys watch the newest season of The Bear?
Yeah.
I haven't seen The Bear, period. I need to.
No.
Oh, it's good.
There's that scene where he's cooking his mom a chicken. And yeah. His mom's like, oh, you have to rinse the chicken off in the sink to get the salmonella off. And he's like, no, if I rinse it in the sink, then I'm just going to get salmonella everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's one thing, like people rinsing off meat.
Yeah. I remember seeing a
video washing of chickens
of
boggles me.
Someone putting Dawn all over a bunch of chicken breasts in the sink, washing
them. Just brining it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well,
should we call it an evening? I'm gonna go lay my head down on my disgusting pillow.
Oh,
I got skin mites and whatever all over it.
For sure. Well, thank you all for listening, and thank you to our loyal patrons for supporting the show. If you haven't already, head over to Patreon at patreon.com/qualifiednonsense, and to show your support, watch us over on to show your support. I read that wrong. Watch us over on YouTube at youtube.com/@qualifiednonsense. Also, feel free to send any questions or comments to qualifiednonsense@gmail.com or hit us up on our socials found in the episode description. Once you've done all that, please rate, review, share, like, and subscribe on your podcast app of choice. We'll see you back here next week for another brand new episode of Qualified Nonsense.
Thanks. Goodbye. For tuning in.